This lesson is HBS 120, and the title of this lesson is How to Always Get a Yes Answer from God. And this lesson will be part one, and I've entitled part one as Pray in Line with His Promises. Now let me just say a couple of words about why I'm teaching this lesson. I guess the reason I'm teaching this lesson is because many times we pray, we don't get an answer that to our prayer, and we don't know why. And it creates a kind of a question in our minds as well, you know, God asked me to pray, and I prayed, and I didn't get an answer. I guess I don't know why, but, you know, for some reason I didn't get an answer. And we just go on about our lives. We never get it settled, really, why we didn't get an answer, a yes answer to our prayer. Well, I studied this for years, really, and I had some partial answers along the way, but it's only recently that it's really crystallized in my spirit on how to pray so that you always get a yes answer from God. The thing, I guess, that finally crystallized in my spirit that made me that's got me teaching this lesson right now is because, about 6 or 8 months ago, we had a pet, a dog, and that dog got very sick. As a matter of fact, he was poisoned. The vet told us that, and he was a long, lengthy death, and it lasted about a week. But anyway, I don't want to go into all that detail. But anyway, our dog hung around for a week and died. Well, during that week, I prayed for that dog, and I lay hands on that dog, and I believed in my heart, I thought, that this dog would be healed. And I prayed in the name of Jesus, and I did all the things that I thought I'd learned over the years, and that dog died. And I was really not upset exactly, but questioning God afterwards. Why did that dog die? I prayed. I know I prayed with great earnestness for that dog, and I felt so sorry for that dog. I felt such compassion because the dog suffered so much. And we finally had to put the dog to sleep. That's how the dog finally died. It was just suffering too much. Well, anyway, I kind of went on about my life, and I didn't get a real answer from God on that that I thought was a full answer. And then I just went about my life and I forgot about it. Well, about 6 months later then, we have another dog. We have three dogs total. One dog has now died. Okay, now we have our another dog, Buddy, which is the dog you hear in a lot of these tapes. Kind of, we're talking to him in the background or telling him to be quiet or something. And he lived right in our house with us. The other dog was the dog that lived outside. Well, Buddy got kind of sick, and I don't want to go through these full details on that, but we finally had to put Buddy to sleep too. But during the time that he was sick, I prayed for him, just like I did the other dog. Well, then Buddy died. And so finally, at the end of this, I said, Lord, I got to know, what in the world am I doing wrong in my prayers that now we've had two dogs die that I prayed for? And the reason I'm talking about these dogs is because I've had great success with people. I've had great success with my own health and my own life in receiving healing. I've had great success in getting other kinds of prayers answered. But this particular case, in two cases now, I did not get a yes answer from God on the prayer I prayed. And so I kept coming before God and asking Him, God, how come? God, how come? And finally, over a period of time, a couple of weeks maybe, I finally received something in my spirit that just kind of put it all together for me. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach this lesson here. And there's four things that we've got to make sure of that when we pray, so we'll always get a yes answer with God. There's four steps, and I'll cover those in detail over a period of a few weeks here, or a few different teachings. So the reason I'm teaching this lesson, I guess, is because I learned from God what I was doing wrong, and it just crystallized for me the things that one needs to do to always receive a yes answer from God to their prayers. So having said that, let me now get into this lesson. Many times, you know, this is what it says in the top of your outline. I'm just going to read it. Many times people pray asking for something and then don't receive what they pray for. Worse, they don't know why their prayers are not answered, and it damages their faith for praying the next time. This lesson shows how to have your prayer answered with a yes answer every single time. Now, remember that in praying this prayer, which I'm going to call the prayer of faith, this prayer must be for something for yourself, okay? Something you want, not for someone else. When praying for or with someone else, their faith and their spiritual condition enters into the situation, and you're not in control of the circumstances to the same degree you are when you pray for something just for yourself. Okay, now keep that in mind. That what I'm talking about here, how to always get a yes answer from God, must be a prayer for something that you desire, not for something for someone else. And the reason for that is because some of the conditions that we're going to go over here, you have no control over when it's someone else. You only have control over what your faith, what you do, and complete control, that is. And there is a prayer for someone else called the prayer of intercession, and we're not talking about that in this series. That's another subject for another time. We're talking here about something I call the prayer of faith, which is something for yourself. Okay, so having established those guidelines, let's now learn how to pray this prayer, which I call the prayer of faith. Now, here's our goal, and it's expressed so beautifully in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I want to read this to you. Okay, here we go. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we're going to see in the coming weeks here, or weeks for me in teaching this, but maybe not for you in listening to it, we're going to see in the coming lessons, let's put it that way, that the first task we have is to get God to hear our prayer. We're going to find out that God doesn't hear every prayer. But the Word of God tells us right here, we can have confidence in this, okay, that if we ask for anything, now listen, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and we can know He hears us if we pray according to His will, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, not might have, but we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, folks, this is the Word of God on prayer here. This tells us that if we'll pray according to the will of God, He'll hear us, and we'll have the petitions that we ask of Him. Now, everybody's going out there, I know, I just hear your brains cranking and say, well, yeah, if we know the will of God, of course we can get what we ask for. Wait, this is not difficult. God gives us everything we need to know His will. Now, let me just explain a little bit about knowing the will of God and praying according to the will of God. Now, there's a couple of ways you can pray according to the Word of God. One is by what I call the object of your prayer. You must pray in line and according to the will of God as far as the particular thing you're praying for. In other words, it must be something scriptural. Let me give you a stupid example of an object or a thing you can't pray for and expect to receive an answer. You can't pray, obviously, for harm to come to someone else. God's not going to answer that prayer. And besides, it's not something for you anyway, okay? You can't pray for yourself even that God will give you 150 Cadillacs all paid for. Now, I'm going to tell you why later, why you can't do this, but it's not according to His will. The object of your prayer is not according to His will. That's one way you must pray according to His will, is the object of your prayer must be according to His will. And not only that, but the method that you use in praying must also be according to His will. So praying according to His will is more than just asking for something in line with His will. That's necessary. But it also includes the method of our prayer. For example, I'll just give you an example now so you'll know what I'm talking about. Later on, we're going to find out, simple thing, we must pray in Jesus' name for the thing we desire. Okay, so that would be more the method of our prayer, not the object or the thing that we desire in our prayer, okay? But both must be present. The thing that we pray for must be according to His will. That's number one. And number two, the method of our prayer. And one of the things would be like praying in Jesus' name. For example, if we ask for something according to God's will, but don't pray in Jesus' name, He's under no obligation to bring it to us. Conversely, if we pray in Jesus' name for something, we've done that right, but don't ask for something in line with His will, some object of our prayer that's in line with His will, He's under no obligation to answer that prayer either. So, to pray according to his will is more than just praying for something, an object of our prayer, for something we desire according to his will. It also means the method of our prayer must be according to his will. And there's some things there that I'm going to be covering that are not difficult. None of this is difficult, but they're necessary, okay? And I'm going to show you at the end why I did not receive a yes answer for my two dogs that I prayed for, okay? I violated a couple precepts of prayer, and I'll talk about those later. They'll become clear to you after we've had this lesson when I go back over where I missed it, okay? So, to pray according to the will of God, we must pray for something that's according to his will. The object of our prayer must be according to his will. And number two, we must pray by a method that's according to his will. For example, I gave you one example of praying in the name of Jesus. There's some other things as well. And they're not difficult. I don't want you to get the idea that, oh, we got to jump through all these different hoops. No, they're not difficult. They're common sense, and they're all laid out in the Word of God. The only thing is, they're not laid out in God's Word in one particular place. It takes some digging to find out what these things are. God didn't just lay them out like I'm going to lay them out for you in one place. That's the way God does in his word. He'll mention one thing here, another thing here, and you need to put it all together. And I've done that for you. And that's what a teacher does, is he does all the legwork, and then he comes up with the steps and the things you must do. And that's why God has teachers. He makes it easier for you. Okay? Makes it harder on the teacher, but easier on the people that are receiving the teaching. Now, all you have to do, the ones receiving the teaching, is listen to what I'm saying and then operate according to God's Word in this area. And what we're going to be talking about is God's Word. Okay. Now, it turns out that to pray according to the will of God, so he will hear us, there's four things, four requirements that we must fulfill to receive this yes answer to our prayer. And I'm talking about every single time. I'm not talking about hit or miss here. I'm saying if you get these things under control and listen to what I'm saying, you'll get a yes answer to your prayer every single time. Now, number one, we must pray in line with his promises. Now, I'm going to take probably a week or a lesson on each one of these four requirements, okay? So don't get all hot and bothered here. If, wait a minute, I don't understand what you mean by that. I'm going to explain this. Now, number one is to pray in line with his promises. Number two, you must abide in him and have his word abiding in you. And I'll explain what that means. Number three, we must pray audibly to the Father in Jesus' name. And don't get all excited about this. Just listen, and I'll explain it later, okay? And number four, we must pray in faith for what you desire. You must pray in faith for what you desire. So here's four things. Pray in line with his promises. Abide in him and have his word abiding in you. Pray audibly to the Father in Jesus' name. And pray in faith for what you desire. Now, do these four things, and you will always pray according to his will. He will always hear you, and you'll always receive what you've asked for. Now, having said all that, let's go in this first lesson and talk about the first requirement, and that is pray in line with his promises. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Okay, here we go. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, talking about Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, listen to this again. Or how many of the promises of God are in Jesus? Yes. It says here, all the promises of God are in him. Yes. And in him, amen, or so be it. All right, now here's the first thing. This is a very key thing. God is telling us in this verse that every single promise in his word, if you pray for that as the object of your prayer, you will always receive a yea from him. That's a yes from him. So our first condition is to pray in line with his promises. Why? Because if you pray in line with his promises, he's saying here, all his promises are yes. All his promises have a yes answer to your prayer. as the object of your prayer. We haven't talked about method yet. We're talking about the object of your prayer, the thing you're praying for, okay? So first of all, the thing you're praying for must be one of His promises in His Word if you're going to receive a yes answer to your prayer. God has thousands of promises in His Word, okay? He has many, many hundreds at least. I've never counted them all. But there's anything that's important to you or Him in your life is covered by a promise. Now, I found this to be true over the years, you know. And actually, this teaching, I couldn't have done this years ago. This has taken a lifetime of study, really, to understand, and I still don't completely understand everything, you never do, but to get to the point where I could really teach this lesson, okay? I mean, there was always something missing. Maybe I had three of the four parts and not the fourth part, but now, in my spirit, I understand that I have now all the parts that are needed to get a yes answer to my prayer and to your prayer for you when you pray this prayer of faith for something for yourself every single time. And shouldn't that be how it is when God says, if you ask anything in my name of my Father, He will give it to you, like John 16:23 says? We've heard that. We've heard it taught, but yet in the back of our mind there's always been this, yeah, I did that once, but I didn't receive. And there's that doubt. Well, doubt no more. I'm going to give you the other key ingredients to this. There's not just one. Now, if you read John 16:23 just by itself, it sounds good. And it is true, but it's only part of the picture, okay? It tells us to pray in Jesus' name. It tells us to pray to the Father. That is part of praying according to His will, as far as the method of prayer goes, okay? And we talked about that a little bit. But there's four steps here, and we need to cover all four of them in our prayer, okay? Now, this particular one, step one, tells us that if we will pray in line with His Word promises, we will receive a yes answer every time because all these promises are yes. Not just part of them, but all of His promises are yes. We just have to know what His promises are, and I'm going to cover that in this lesson. What I want you to see right now is that every one of the promises in His Word have a yes answer to your prayer and a so be it answer to your prayer. That's what I want you to get right now, okay? All right, now, the reason for this, that all He gives a yes answer to all the promises of God, is His will is tied up in these promises. His will is wrapped up into these promises. Remember back in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the promises that we desired of Him. Okay, so His will is wrapped up in these promises. And these promises are in His Word, which will never change. Now, I want to build up your faith a little bit in this fact that this Word of His is inviolate. It will never change. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24 and take a look at verse 35, I believe it is. Matthew 24, verse 35. And let's just read what God's Word says, okay? Matthew 24, verse 35. Listen, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, God says this all through His Word, okay? In the Old Testament, I think three of the four Gospels have this equivalent verse in them. And God is trying to tell us something here. He's saying, what you consider the heavens, not heaven where God lives, He's talking about the heavens here, and this earth that you've lived on and have your experience in up to now, this is your only experience, that seems so permanent to you, He's saying that's going to pass away. But my word will never pass away. What He's trying to get across here is the fact that the thing that we consider so stable and so permanent, which is this world and the heavens around us, that the most stable thing that we know is so temporary compared to His word. Okay, that's what He wants to get across. He's saying his words will never pass away. So the things I'm reading to you, the scriptures that I'm reading to you to teach this lesson, are words from his word, his written word, that will never pass away, that will always be true. So back there when we read, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him so be it, that means that will never change. That's always going to be true. Okay, so you don't have to worry about what we're teaching here, passing out of someday just passing away. It's never going to pass away. It's always going to be true. That's one thing, just as an aside here, folks, I like about teaching the Word of God and having this website where I have all these, this Bible school on there. The things that I've put up there are never going to get old. They're always going to be true. When I pass away, when I leave this earth and pass on, that is just going to be just as true. People can come to this website, come to this Bible school, and receive the same true teaching, and it will never change. Now, the thing is, I'm an engineer by profession. I look back now years later at some of the things I learned in school many, many years ago, and some of that has changed. I mean, most of the basic principles are still true, but I think about chemistry a lot. I studied the chemistry, and we had the periodic table of the elements. And we thought that's all the elements there were. There's many more now that have been discovered since I took chemistry. That's changed. The atomic structure of the atom that we thought was so, that we were taught about the structure of the atom and the particles that made up an atom or an element, that's all changed. I mean, it's just that we discovered more about it. The basic truth is still there, but we just know so much more. We've discovered more particles. Okay, that changed. But God's word is never going to change. It's always going to be the same. Heaven and earth, the things that we consider so permanent, are not going to always be permanent. And it's going to seem so temporal compared to God's word. Okay? So I'm just trying to build your faith here. God's word, the fact that he said that the things that we're going to talk about in this lesson will never change. It's always be true for all his promises. In him will always be yes, and it'll be these same promises, okay? Not new ones. The same ones will be always be true. God will always want you healed. He will always want you to prosper. And these are some of the blessings. These are some of the word promises that we're going to talk about. But all of these things will always be true for you. God will always have this desire for you, okay? He will always desire salvation for his children. Now, there is an open window on salvation that will shut someday, but it's always going to be true until that happens, okay? And then, you know, this old place that we live here on earth will pass away, as we just read, and that will end our chance, mankind's chance for salvation. But it will always be true. God will always want as many saved as possible. He'll always want your body healed. He'll always want you to prosper. All these things are always going to be true. He'll always want you to have a good marriage. He'll always want your children to be healthy and bring you joy. All these things will always be true. It will never go out of favor. Now let's read another scripture. Malachi 3:6 is right before Matthew here. the book right before Matthew. And let's just read another scripture to build your faith. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Okay, so God isn't going to change. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change who he is. He's not going to change his personality. If he wants you healed now, he's going to always want you healed. He is the Lord. He changes not. Now let's turn to Hebrews 13:8. Or I'll just quote it, save a little time here. It says, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever." Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God and is the Word of God, will never change. It'll always be the same. So you see, folks, the things that we're talking about here will never change. This truth that I'm going to impart to you about praying will never change. It's always going to be in fashion. It's not going to go out of fashion. These four requirements for answered prayer, yes, answer to prayer, will always be true. It's not going to come in and go out of favor with God. It's not going to be a fad. It's always going to be true. Okay, so we've covered that. Now, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by what?" You all know this if you've been in these classes for a while. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, his promises then, which are part of his Word, are your source of faith to be able to pray in faith, which is step four up there, requirement number four. Okay? I'm just covering a couple of things here so we get some ground rules laid down. His promises, these promises, that all of these promises are yes, have a yes answer to prayer, are your source for faith. They not only tell you what to pray for, to always pray in line with God's word, these promises, but they also are your source of faith for prayer, so that you can pray in faith for what you desire, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these promises are contained in his word. As you hear me enumerate a promise of God, it should and will build faith in your heart to pray for these things in faith. So God's promises in his word really have a twofold role. They're number one, to show you his will in your prayer so that you can pray. And number two is to build faith in your heart so you can pray. So you can pray according to his will in faith by hearing what his promises are. And you also can pray according to his will as far as the object of your prayer goes, knowing that all these promises have a yes answer. Okay? So his promises then are your source of faith to be able to pray in faith. All right, now, knowing God's will as expressed by his word in these word promises is a prerequisite for your faith always. That's the only way God has provided for you to get faith, and that is through his word. For again, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when you hear the word of God, it builds faith in your heart. Now, let's go back and see how important this idea of knowing what God's will is. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8 and take a look at verse 3, I believe it is. Let's actually start at verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now this little short three-verse thing here tells us a lot. And it also shows us how people think. And this is something that we have to get through if we're going to get a yes answer to our prayer and pray in faith. And pray according to his will, which, remember, that was our text. 1 John 5:14-15 said, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, that is the thing that we have to get settled to pray in faith. Am I praying in line with God's will? There is no way you can pray in faith for anything if you don't know God's will for that thing. If you don't know it's God's will to heal, you'll never be able to pray in faith for healing. If you don't know it's God's will for you to prosper, you'll never be able to pray in faith for anything financial or it has anything to do with your prospering. You understand that? You have to know his will. You know, it's very simple, really. Just among people, it's the same way. For example, if I said I'm going to meet you at Bob Evans for breakfast on Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning, then you know my will in the matter, okay? And you can get up that morning, get ready, get there, show up at 6 o'clock, and have a degree of faith that I'm going to be there if I'm a person of integrity. But if you don't know my will, if I never said I'm going to be there, if I never said that I'm going to be there at 6 a.m. on Tuesday, and you get up, brush your teeth, get all excited about having breakfast together, and show up there, and I'm not there, well, should you be surprised? No. Because you didn't know my will in this area. You didn't know if I was going to be there or not. I never said I was going to be there that time. See, that's all God's word is, really, is telling us what he'll do under certain conditions. And that builds our faith, because now we know God's will in the matter. But if we don't know God's will, there's no room for faith. And that's the problem this leper had, and this is a problem a lot of us have that don't know God's word as well as we should. He's saying, Lord, I know that you're all powerful. I know that you've healed others. And if you will, you can make me clean. What he's really saying to Jesus here is, I don't know what your will is. But if you do want to do it, I know you can do it. But I don't know if it's your will or not. And Jesus put this to rest by saying, it is my will. If that's the only thing holding you back, be thou clean. In other words, he showed the man it was his will. And as soon as he said, I will, faith was generated in that man, and Jesus healed him. Now, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Take a look at the same episode another time. Why am I doing this? Because I want you to see that this little episode that only lasts a short time is in three of the four Gospels. Now, whenever something is in three of the four Gospels, or two of the four Gospels, God is trying to say, look, I've told all three of these guys to write this in here because it's important. Okay? So, look at Mark chapter 1, verse 41. I'm not saying the rest of his word isn't important. Don't get that idea. But I'm just saying this is really important, and God wants us to get it under control. Okay? So, let's just read again here in chapter 40, in Mark chapter 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to Jesus, and saying unto him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Here's the same episode, tells us a little more detail about it. And here's the same question again. Lord, if you will, and I don't know what your will is, but if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. Take a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 13. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Here's in the third gospel. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, what do you think that the Holy Spirit inspired these three different men, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to write this? Why do you think he did? The reason he did, is because he wanted us, number one, to know that we need to know Jesus and God's will if we want to receive something from him. And it's nothing against us if we don't know his will, but it is against us if we don't try to find out what his will is. That's what it's telling us here. Okay? And this man, in all three accounts, came to Jesus, and it said, got down on his knees. One place says he fell on his face. Another one says he worshipped him and besought him, saying, if you will, you can make me clean. In other words, he was saying, I don't know your will, but I sure want to know it. And that's the way we've got to be, folks. We've got to be just as eager to know what God's will is as this man. This man came to Jesus full of leprosy. They weren't even supposed to associate with other people. They're supposed to stay a long distance away. He broke that rule and took a chance on incurring the wrath of the Pharisees by coming to Jesus. So that was something he did that was kind of chancy. Then he besought him and fell on his face and got on his knees before him and said, if you will, you can make me clean, not knowing Jesus' will. And his whole purpose of being here was to get healed, of course. But first he said, I don't know your will, but I know that if you want to, you can make me clean. And I want to know what your will is in this matter. And Jesus said, well, I will, be thou clean. So, folks, we're in the same boat, aren't we? We need to know God's will if we're going to get our healing or any other answer to our prayer. Okay? And that's what it meant in 1 John 5:14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, for we ask anything according to his will. Folks, if we're going to ask in faith, we've got to know that we're asking according to his will. And he said, if we do this, he hears us. Implying that if we don't do this, if we don't pray according to his will, he doesn't even hear our prayer. It's not that he doesn't answer it, it's that he never heard it in the first place. That's what's implied here. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. But right now, what I want you to see is there is no way we're ever going to be able to pray in faith, which is one of our four requirements, if we don't know what God's will is in a certain situation. So we have to have some knowledge of the Word. Number one, to know His will, and number two, to get the faith to pray. Because faith comes by hearing that Word, that will, which is His Word. Okay. Now, here's an example, salvation. How did you get saved? Somewhere along the line, someone told you that God said in His Word that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus as your Lord, you'd be saved. If you'd accept Jesus as your Savior, you'd be saved. Somewhere that had to happen. Somewhere you had to confess Jesus as your Lord. Somewhere you had to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Well, how do I know this? Because that's what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says we must have done to get saved. We must do to get saved, and therefore, if you are saved, then you must have done this, okay? Now, what does Ephesians 4, 8 say? It says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no man can boast. No man can say, well, I got saved because I did it right. I did everything right. I obeyed God's commandments, and I got saved. No, you didn't. It says, for by grace were you saved. Through no merit or anything you did were you saved. And it wasn't of yourself. It was a gift of God through faith. So you must have had faith to become saved, okay? All of you have been there. All of you fulfill the requirements that are saved, that are listening to this teaching right now. You have done this, okay? Has this prayer ever been answered? No. No, never. Because God's Word said this is one of His promises. Remember, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. All right? So this is one of the promises, salvation, isn't it? When you act according to what His Word says do, that is, believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, you will be saved. Not maybe, you will. That's one of the promises of God. And all His promises are yes, just like this. Is this prayer any different than any other prayer? No. I just want to point out here that you've all, that are in the sound of my voice, that are Christians, that are born again, have all done this. And you've all received a yes answer. Not one of you has ever received a no answer. Now, ask yourself this question. You say, well, that was salvation. Of course God wants to save us. It was a promise He had in His Word. And I heard that. I heard the preacher say that. And I got saved. I know that. But what about the other prayers? Why would this prayer be any different? This is a promise. This is just one of the promises of God, salvation. There's many more. Okay? Why would any other prayer be any different is my question to you. If you pray in line with any of His promises, the answer will always be yes. Just let that sink in a little bit. For all the promises of God, not just salvation, but all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, and to the glory of God by us, okay? So I just wanted to point out here that all of you that have been saved, you've all had this prayer answered because it was a promise of God. And you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you were saved. For by grace were you saved through that faith that you got by hearing Romans 10, 9, and 10, or whatever other scripture that you heard that made you believe that Jesus was alive today. And you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were saved. Okay? Maybe somebody led you through that prayer and told you what to say, or you read the scripture for yourself. However it happened, you had to go through these steps. And when you did, you were saved. And my point here, bringing this out, that something you already knew, is to show you that this is just one of God's promises. And how magnificently He answered that prayer of yours for salvation. This is just one of His promises. And my message to you is, He'll answer any of His promises that way. Why? Just like this leper. Lord, if you will, you can do this or do that. And He said, I will, be thou clean. God says, I will to every promise in His Word. That's my point to you this morning. Okay? God says, I will to every single one of the promises in His Word. And folks, you're not going to be able to receive a yes answer to prayer if you don't know that promises in His Word. So first of all, we have to pray in line with His promises. Now let me give you a little shortcut to knowing His will or what some of His promises are. Turn to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made to be a curse for us. For cursed is anyone that hangeth from a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, you've probably, if you've gotten to this point in our series of teachings, you've heard the lesson of redeemed from the curse of the law, or from the blessing to the curse, or from the curse to the blessing. You've heard that teaching, probably. Okay, so anytime the Word of God says you've been redeemed from something, that is something that is yours. That is a promise of God. That is one of His promises. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is anything that was covered in the curse of the law that you've been redeemed from is something you don't have to put up with anymore. And it is a promise in the Word of God for you. Okay? So I'm just saying a shortcut to knowing His will, to knowing what His promises are, is understanding the things that came to you in your redemption. They're always going to be His will, His promise for you. Okay? And so if you want to know what these promises are in any detail, go back and listen to the teachings on from the curse to the blessing, or the blessing of Abraham, or redeemed from the curse. All those teachings tell us what came to us in our redemption. Okay? Not only were redeemed from the curse, so anything in the curse would be His will for you. Anything that was in the curse that you've been redeemed from would be His will for you to enjoy in your life. That's a promise of God. But also all the blessings of Abraham. And all these things are contained in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first 14 verses take care of the blessings that are yours. The next verses to the end of the chapter take care of the curses that you've been redeemed from. All these things, anything you can find in there, is a promise for you. And all these promises of God in Him are yes for you. Okay? So I'm just telling you a shortcut, kind of, to finding out what many, many, many of these promises of God's are for you. Because remember, all these promises of God have a yes answer to prayer. All these promises of God build your faith so you can pray, because faith comes by hearing what these promises are. Okay? So, I just wanted to cover this for all of you saying, well, I have no idea what His promises are. Well, here's a way to find out what a bunch of them are without doing a lot of work. I mean, this is kind of a shortcut. Now, there's many other promises, too, in His Word. And if you've gotten to this point in our online Bible school, you know what a lot of these promises already are. All I'm telling you is that if you'll pray in line with these promises, you'll get a yes answer. That's the first step in getting a yes answer to your prayer. Now, what happens when something you desire and you want to pray about is not covered by a specific word promise? What do you do then? Well, thank God, 90% of the things that we need in this word that we want to pray about are covered by a word promise. But there are a few things that are specific things that you might want to ask God about or ask for, and you want to know if this is covered by God's will. What do you do if it's not covered in His Word? In other words, let me give you some example. Do I take this job or not? Is God telling us to move from where we are and go to another area, another city, take a different job maybe, or just move there for some other reason? Should I put my kids in this school? Should I buy this house? Now, these are more specific questions that we might ask God for, want to know the answer to, want to pray about, that aren't covered in His Word because they're specific things that only apply to our lives. They're not general promises that are true for everybody. What do we do about something like this? Well, in these cases, when something you desire is not covered by a specific word promise, you must seek what His will is. Now, this isn't difficult as it may sound. It's fairly simple, as a matter of fact. In this case, you must pray the prayer for wisdom. God, I need to know, should I take this job? I don't know if this would be best for me or not. But should I do it? That would be a prayer for wisdom. And James chapter 1 covers this. Let's go back and read a little about the prayer of wisdom. James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, notice how God covers every situation for us. This is beautiful. If any of you lack wisdom, in these cases you would lack wisdom. You wouldn't know. Do I take this job? I don't know. I need wisdom. Do I move? I don't know. I need wisdom. Do I go to put my kids in this school? I don't know. I need wisdom. Do I buy this house? I don't know. I need wisdom. Well, if any of you lack wisdom in any matter, on any of these matters, or any matter at all, let him ask of God. Now listen. That gives to all men or women liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now the only condition God has on this is, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, if you're praying for wisdom or praying for something you desire, it's necessary to pray in faith, okay? And that was our step four, our fourth requirement. We haven't got to that yet and won't for a while, but it's necessary to pray in faith. One of the ways you can pray in faith is to know what God's will is in the situation, okay? As I said, if you know the promise, faith cometh by hearing and knowing, and hearing by the Word of God, knowing what the Word of God says in the matter. Now, when you don't know what God's will is on a situation for a specific thing like we're talking about right now, he's saying if anybody is in this position and lacks wisdom in a certain thing, let him ask of God that gives to all who ask liberally, and it shall be given you. So here's your faith for praying the prayer for wisdom in faith. Okay, here's your faith. It shall be given him liberally, any who ask of God, all. Okay, this is your source of faith for praying for wisdom. For God is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, so you need to meditate on verse 5 is what it amounts to, till it gets down in your spirit, that if any lack wisdom, he gives to all who ask liberally, and it shall be given. Okay, that covers it completely. That says everyone who lacks wisdom and asks will get it. But you must ask in faith. The only way you can ask in faith for wisdom is to really meditate on verse 5, knowing that if you lack wisdom, you only need to ask. He'll give to anyone who asks. He'll do it liberally, and it shall be given. See, once you get that down in your spirit, you're ready to ask in faith for wisdom. Okay, now, let us read another scripture that applies here. Let's turn to Matthew 7:7. This is in three of the Gospels, but we're just going to read one account here, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? No one. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? No one. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Okay? And if what he's saying here then, back in verse 7, is when you ask for wisdom or anything else, it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All you need do is ask in line with his word, according to these four conditions I'm giving you, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Folks, when we're asking for wisdom, we're seeking. When we're asking for wisdom, we're knocking. We want to know, God, is this your will for me? What is your will in this situation for me? And God is saying here, in both here and in the other two places in his Gospels that cover this same thing, where it says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And also here in James chapter 1, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Look at the strong words in here. Any of you lack wisdom. Any is a strong word. Let him ask of God that gives to all liberally All is a strong word. And it shall be given to him. Shall is a strong word. All those things are unequivocal. They're absolutely, you can be absolutely assured, is what it's saying here, that God will give what you're asking for. So, when something you desire is not covered by a specific word promise, you must seek his will. Seek and you shall find. And I gave you some examples. He will answer this prayer also, folks, with a yes answer every single time this prayer is prayed in faith. And you can pray this prayer in faith because of these key words I gave you. Any, all, and shall. Meditate on those words and you will be able to pray for wisdom with a yes answer every single time. So even when something you desire, in maybe the 10% of the cases you want to pray for something about God's will in a situation for your life that's not covered in the Word of God as a promise, then in that 10% of the times, or whatever it might be, all you need to do is pray for wisdom and wait to hear. All right, now, let me just say a couple words about this hearing when something you desire is not covered by a specific word promise. Many times the answer will come in the form of, let me start over here. You must be spending time with God on a daily basis. You cannot just ask him for wisdom in a manner and go about your life and never check back in with God. You'll never hear. I'll tell you that right now. You'll never hear. What must you do? You must spend time with God on a daily basis seeking to hear from him, okay? Now, many times the answer will come in the form of repetitive scriptures you read or hear that touch your spirit. You might be reading along and just spending your quiet time with the Lord, and all of a sudden you hit a verse and it covers your situation perfectly, and it just speaks to your spirit. It touches your spirit. Well, that's God speaking to you about this thing that you're asking for wisdom on, okay? It may come in your inner witness. You may pray about this and just know in your spirit that what a certain course of action should be. For example, let's say you're praying, do I take this job? And you have this, I've heard it described as a light, velvety feeling in your spirit, a green light, yes, go ahead. Or you have this check in your spirit, no, a red light, don't do that. You just know in your spirit, from this feeling in your spirit, what you should do. Now, you're going to know this best when you're spending time with God and you're quiet with God. This is not going to be an inner witness that you're going to get when you're watching TV or you're in a conversation with somebody else, usually. It's going to be when you're quiet before the Lord, okay? But it may come as this inner witness. It may come as the still, small voice of your spirit to you. It may also come through peace in your heart about a particular course of action to take. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, that peace is a way of God speaking to us. When you think about a situation, you know, about whether I should take this job or put my kids in this school, if you have great peace when you think about it, that's an indication, yes, go ahead. If you don't have peace about it, it's just a turmoil, there's just this red light, then don't do it. Okay? That's how God speaks. Now, the thing is, he may use two or three of these different methods to speak to you, and they will always agree. There won't be one that will, you think, will say one thing, one another. The Holy Spirit's not schizophrenic. He doesn't have three or four personalities. He only has one personality, and that his personality is to reflect God's will in your life. He'll hear from God about the thing that you've prayed about. He'll speak to your spirit about it, and your spirit will speak to you. That's how it works. And they'll always agree. There'll always be confirmation, so you don't make a mistake. But wait for it, okay? Wait to hear from God. Don't rush off saying, well, I kind of know the answer. This is what I want to do. You get in trouble doing that. Wait till you hear from God. Make sure that you're hearing from your spirit, which is the way God speaks to you. He'll speak to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, and your spirit will speak to you. Okay. Let's take a couple of scriptures here and kind of summarize here what we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 11, and then we'll quit. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What this is saying here, folks, is when you're praying for something that's not covered explicitly in God's word, like we're talking about here, wait for two or three different witnesses. You know, wait for the scriptures. Wait for the inner witness. wait for the peace in your heart. And let them all agree. then you'll know the course of action to take. They'll always agree if it's God. That's always going to be the truth. But God is saying there's a safety in a multitude of counselors. Don't take the first scripture that you see and run off with it, okay? Make sure it's speaking to your spirit. Make sure there's more than one. Make sure there's a consistency in what you think you're hearing from God. This is a way of not making a big mistake, okay? And God is telling us there's safety in the multitude of counselors. This means that there is danger in just taking one little thing you think you might have heard and running off with it. And Proverbs 24:6 basically says the same thing. Let's turn there as well. Proverbs 24, chapter 6. Let this be the second witness. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Again, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Before I quit, let me just give you a little example of something that happened in my life. One time, I've been self-employed for over 30 years, and God was teaching me a lot of these things, and one time I didn't have any work, and I'd been doing everything correctly. I'd been spending time in God's Word. I'd been seeking Him on things. But all of a sudden, I just didn't have any work. I mean, there was just no work coming in. So I was before God in the morning asking Him about these things. Finally, one day, I get this call from a customer that I'd had in the past. And he said, I've got the biggest job we've ever done. You know, I have this whole area mapped out for you to do. It's going to be a really big contract for your company. And I was so overjoyed because I had no work, and I said, God, thank you, after the phone hung up. And then I was just silent for a minute, and I said, what? I didn't hear anything, but I just had this feeling in my spirit, somewhat an unease. And I said, you're not saying you don't want me to take this job, are you? And it was just quiet, but this unease about this whole job in my spirit. And I had told God that I said I would run my business according to His perfect will. I would seek His will on everything, every decision I made. I would try to run my business in line with the Word of God as much as I knew of it. I promised Him all these things. I even wrote them down on a piece of paper and signed it. And He promised then to bless me. And I was using Joshua 1:8 as our basis for that. Well, anyway, I just kept getting this kind of negative witness. And I said, God, I haven't had any work for a while. I need this work. I mean, I have to support my family. Silence. Just this uneasy feeling. I said, are you telling me you don't want me to take this job? I've been out of work for a while. It's going to be wonderful. This is going to be the biggest job I've ever had. Silence. Just this uneasy feeling. And then this thought came into my mind. You said you'd do whatever God told you in this business. I said, God, are you telling me not to take this job? I said it out loud in my office. And I just had this feeling like, yes, I'm telling you that. I mean, it wasn't a voice. It was just this uncomfortable with this feeling. I said, you want me to call this guy back and tell him I'm not going to take this job? I thought, that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. I said, okay. And I'd already told my wife, I'd already run upstairs from my office and told her, I told Marianne, I said, honey, guess what? You know, that job, that work we haven't had, is the biggest job we've ever had, just came in. She says, praise the Lord, oh, God is so faithful. And we were kind of dancing around the kitchen together. And then I came back downstairs, and all this negative stuff started coming over me. I said, God, I already told Marianne, my honey, okay? I already told her I wasn't going to take this job, that I was going to take this job. I already told her I would take this job. And it was, we're all so happy to have it. How do I tell her if I call this guy? Silence. All right, I'll call him, because if I got to be honest here, I mean, I really believe in my heart that you're telling me to call this guy back and not take this job. Now, you can take longer than this if you want to. I mean, you don't have to take the first witness that comes. You can just wait for a while, see if it's confirmed by Scripture. You know, God doesn't order you to rush into these decisions. He wants to make sure you know what to do. But I knew by this time. I knew in my spirit I had no positive inner witness about taking this job. So I kind of got my courage together, and I called this person back, and I said, Dave, I said, I can't take this job. He says, what? We just talked about this. And I said, I know that, Dave. but I can't do it. He says, why can't you do it? You know, sometimes you just can't hide things. You've got to, you know, be honest before people of why you're doing certain things. And I said, Dave, you're asking me for a reason why I'm not taking this job, and you deserve an answer because I already told you I would take it. The reason I'm not taking it is when I got into business way back in the beginning, I told God that I'd run this business as much as possible according to His will. I would run it according to what His Word said for me to do, and would run it according to what His Word told me to do in situations that came up. And if I'm honest with myself, I've got to say that I believe God is telling me not to take this job. And he got kind of hot. And he says, why? What's wrong with us? You know? And he didn't buy this thing about God, I don't think. I think he thought I was using it as an excuse. And I also think he was kind of hurt that I didn't take the job. But I had to be honest. I said, Dave, nothing against you, nothing against the company, nothing. I just don't know why. I just know that God doesn't want me to take this job. I believe it in my heart. I have to do what I believe in my heart. Whether you have a believe it or not, I have to do what I think is right. And I think God's asking me not to take this job. And he got kind of upset. And he said, well, that's the way you feel about it. And hung up. Well, I felt bad because I told him I'd take it. But I did feel good about the fact that I had obeyed God in what I knew he was wanting me to do. Even if I didn't have any work, I had obeyed God. I was sitting there thinking about this, and all of a sudden I thought, well, now, God, what do I do? I still need business. I've done what you've said to do with here. And all of a sudden, as I was sitting there talking to God, this picture of this guy came into my mind that I used to work for out in California. Used to work with, not for. Actually, he used to work for me. But I had quit the job to go into business for myself, this business that I was in now. And a picture of his face just kind of came up before me. And I said, do you want me to call him? And I just had this really good feeling about it. So I said, okay, I'll call him. So I called him up and I said, Charlie, this is Mike. He says, Mike, he says, I'm glad you called. He says, and this is what he said. These are the exact words. He said, it's almost divine that you called. I was just thinking about you and wondering if you'd be interested in doing this job for us. My goodness, I had a chill going up the back of my spine. Turned out, to make a long story short, that the job he wanted me to do for them was just as big a job as the other job. Plus, the work that I did for them, I built on later in my career, and it became the number one thing that I did for my customers for the rest of my business. And it led to a piece of software that I sold for many thousands of dollars over the years. By taking this new job that I would never have taken if I'd already committed to the other job, the first job. So you see how it works, folks? Do what God wants you to do. Ask according to His will. Get His will firmly established in your mind. For all the promises of God in Him are yes when you go according to His will. And when you don't know what His will is, ask for wisdom, like I was doing here. Okay? So you can pray according to the will of God and He'll hear you. Remember, this is our key scripture, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. And now let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, fill in the blanks. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the blank we have in Him. That if we blank anything according to His blank, He will blank us. So let's answer that question. All you have to do is go back and read 1 John 5:14, and the answer is this. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. So in the blanks goes confidence, ask, will, and hear. Reading it a little quicker now, it says, 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. Next question, true or false? Verse 15 goes on to say that if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have a very good chance of receiving the petition that we ask of Him. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's false. Verse 15 doesn't say we have a very good chance of receiving the petition. It says we will receive the petition. It says this: if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of him. We have it. Not a very good chance of receiving it, but we will receive it, definitely. And so the way it was worded in the question is false. These two verses tell us that if we pray according to blank blank, he will blank us. And if we know he blank us, we can know that we have the things we blank for. Filling in the blanks. And this sums up these two verses, and this is an absolute truth that we can rely on in our prayer every single time. These two verses tell us that if we pray according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, we can know that we have the things we asked for. So in these blanks go his will, hear again, and the word hear the second time, and asked. True or false? Our part is in this is to pray according to his will, and God's part is to hear us and to give us what we ask for. Is this true or false? Well, this is absolutely true, folks. In practically every promise in the Bible, there's our part and there's God's part. Our part in this case is for us to pray according to his will, and God's part is then to hear us and to give us what we've asked for, if we do pray according to his will. So we each have a part to play. Our part is played first. We must pray according to his will. We'll talk about that some more in a minute. And God's part is to hear us when we do this and then to give us what we ask for. To pray according to his will, both the blank of our prayer and the blank of our prayer must be according to his will. What goes in these blanks? To pray according to his will, both the object of our prayer, that is the thing we ask for, and the method of our prayer must be according to his will. Praying according to his will has more than just praying for something in line with his will. It also has to do with praying according to the methods that he outlines in his word, which we're going to be spending a lot of time in the coming lessons talking about. So there's more than one part to praying according to his will. To pray according to his will, both the object of our prayer, that is the thing we're asking for, and the method of our prayer must be according to his will. And I gave an example in the lesson of part of the method according to his will would be to pray audibly in the name of Jesus to the Father. That's part of it. That would be the part of the method. The object that's got to be according to his will would be asking for something in line with his word. And we'll talk about that some more in this homework. So the thing that goes in these two blanks are object and method. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, God's word tells us blank the promises of God have a blank answer. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, God's word tells us all the promises of God have a yes answer. And folks, this particular statement in 2 Corinthians 1:20 goes a long way toward telling us what we must do to pray according to God's will. The thing we must do, this is a large part of it, is to pray according to God's promises, because all the promises of God have a yes answer, 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us. And so if we know what God's promises are, then we can know we're praying in line with his will according to the object of our prayer. That is the thing we're asking for. That just makes sense, doesn't it? If we know something that's been promised and we're praying in line with that thing that's been promised, we can know that we're praying according to his will. We can know then that he hears us, and we can know that we have that thing which we've asked for. Let's go on to the next question now. True or false? This is because God's promises are contained in his word, and he will almost always honor his word. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. Simply because of the word almost in here makes it false. The way to make this correct would be to say this is because God's promises are contained in his word and he will always honor his word. But because I had that almost in there, it's false. Because God will never be caught in a lie. He will always, always, always honor His word. Therefore, the way to pray according to God's will as pertaining to the object of our prayer is to pray in line with His blank, which are contained in His blank. This is our blank requirement. What goes in these blanks? Therefore, the way to pray according to God's will as pertaining to the object of our prayer is to pray in line with His promises, which are contained in His word. This is our first requirement. Remember, there were four requirements we talked about in the lesson, and this is our first requirement. The title of this lesson is Pray in Line with His Promises. So this is our first requirement. To pray according to His total will in regards to both blank and blank, we must fulfill blank requirements. Okay, what goes in here? To pray according to His total will in regards to both object and method, we must fulfill four requirements. And that's really the a summary statement of our upcoming lessons, covering this one and the ones to come on this in this series. To pray according to His total will. In other words, we want to pray according to His will because our text scripture says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So, we need to pray according to His will. And the whole substance of these lessons is going to learn how to do that. And there are four requirements we must fulfill to pray according to His will. And folks, the reason this lesson is so important is because once we pray according to His will, we know that we have the answer that we desired of Him. We know it. And so, folks, it's worthwhile to learn these four requirements, because once we learn them, then we can always pray in line with God's will. And when we do that, He hears us, and we have the answer to the thing that we've asked for every single time. Because that's what this statement says. It doesn't say, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He might hear us. And if we know that He might hear us, we will might have what we've asked of Him. There's nothing like that in there. It's a completely universal statement that's plain. It doesn't take a lot of Bible interpretation or theologians to interpret it. It's very clear. It says simply that this is the confidence that we can have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, and that's why we're studying how to pray in line with His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, not might have, but have the petition that we desired of Him. Do you hear all these wonderful statements in here? Anything according to His will. He always hears us. And if we know that He always hears us, we know that we have the petition. See, there's no weasel words in here, folks. If we'll do it according to His will, and I'm teaching you how in these lessons, we'll always have the answer. Isn't that worth taking a little time to learn what His word has to say about this? If we can know that when we know what these requirements are and fulfill them, that we'll receive a yes answer to our prayer every single time. That's a wonderful promise. And that's why I'm belaboring this point a little bit, is to get it down in your spirits that this isn't a hit or miss proposition. This is something that God will do every single time, because He says so right here in 1 John 5:14 and 15, and some other places as well that we'll be studying in the coming weeks. Okay, next question. God's blank in prayer is wrapped up in the blank, in His blank, which will blank change. What goes in these blanks? God's will in prayer is wrapped up in the promises in His word, which will never change. That's important. It will never change. Once you learn this, you won't have to relearn it in a couple of years. Say, well, things have changed in His word. You know, I have to learn the four requirements all over again because He's changed His mind. No. Once you learn this, it's always going to be the same, because God's word never changes. Now, name two things that have less permanence than God's word. What did we study in our lesson that had less permanence than God's word? Well, just to let you know what they were, just by way of review. The heavens and the earth go in these two blanks. Two things that have less permanence than God's word is something that we think of as having tremendous permanence, and that is the heavens around us and this earth that's in the center of these heavens around us. Not talking about heaven where God resides, talking about the heavens, which is the atmosphere around our earth here. So two things that we're both familiar with that seem to have great permanence to us are less permanent than God's word, and that would be the earth and the surrounding heavens. Isn't that amazing? God's word has more permanence than this very earth that we're on right now as you listen to this lesson. God's word has more permanence than that earth that you're standing on or sitting on in your chair right now. Okay, give a scripture saying this. Okay, well, let's look back in the word of God here and go to Matthew 24, and let's take a look at verse 35, and let's just read what it says. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So here we, this is the scripture that gave us the authority to say that the heavens and the earth will pass away before God's word will pass away. In fact, his word shall not pass away. Okay, now let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says a very similar thing, and I want to read it too. That'll be our second witness. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's listen to that again. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's summer right now when I'm teaching this lesson. The grass is green, the flowers are out, but that's not going to last. There's going to become the winter, the fall, and then the winter. But God's word will never change like that. His word will stand forever. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says a very, very similar thing. It says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. In the last verse we read, it said, God's word stands forever. This verse says, the Lord's word endureth forever. Same thing. So, here's another, a third witness about everything else being less permanent and less sure than God's word. Next question. When we understand that God's word will never blank and that his blank are contained in that word, it brings faith when we blank God's promises. Scripture. When we understand that God's word will never change and that his promises are contained in that word, it brings faith when we hear God's promises. What scripture tells us this? Well, it's Romans 10:17. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when we hear God's promises in his word, it brings faith. I'm thinking right now of Peter when Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter said, Master, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter heard that word, the word of God, from Jesus, the word come, he had faith to get out of the boat and begin to walk on that water. See, faith came by hearing the word of God there. The word of God in this case was the word come. He knew what God's will was in this situation, and when he knew that, faith was born in his heart, and he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. That is, until he started looking at the circumstances. But he did walk on the water as long as he was kept his mind on the word of Jesus, which was come. And that's the same thing we're talking about here. That was a promise from Jesus, wasn't it? Come. In other words, he wasn't going to let him sink. So when we understand that God's word will never change, just like Peter did when he looked at the word of God from Jesus, the word come, and that his promises are contained in that word, it brings faith when we hear God's promises. And the scripture is Romans 10:17. What did the leper know about Jesus when he came to him for healing? What did the leper know? We read three accounts in Mark, Matthew, and Luke's Gospels. So you should know, since I read from all three of them in the lesson, what the leper knew about Jesus when he came to him for healing. What did he know? This is what he knew. He knew Jesus could heal him. Emphatic word here is the word could. He knew Jesus could heal him. What question did the leper need to have answered before he could be healed? He needed to know if it was Jesus' will to heal him. So there's two different things here. When he came to Jesus, he knew Jesus could heal him. But what he didn't know is if it was Jesus' will to heal him. So he didn't know what Jesus' will was. He only knew that Jesus could heal him. So in the first question, the answer is he knew Jesus could heal him. And the second question, he needed to know if it was Jesus' will to heal him. Okay, next question. This is the same question we must have answered before we receive from God. Is that true or false? That's absolutely true. Every one of us knows God can heal, or God can bring the finances we need, or God can make a better marriage for us. But how many know he wants to or wills to? See, that's the whole crux of the question right there. And that's why we need to know what God's promises are, because they bring the faith about his will. You know, it's nothing to believe that God can do it. James tells us that Satan believes that much, and he trembles. He knows what God can do. But the real question is to know what God will do, or to know what God wants to do, what his desire is, what his will is. And the only way we can know that, folks, is to know what his word says about different situations that come up in our lives. For example, once we know his word, we know it's God's will to always heal us. Once we know God's word, we know it's God's will to always prosper us. Once we know God's will, we know it's always God's will that we have a good marriage and that our children grow up nurtured in the Word of God. All these things are God's will. Many more things are God's will as well. It's God's will that we all receive wisdom when we need it, if we ask in faith. Everything that we need that's important is in line with God's will for us, if you'll just search the Scriptures. Okay, so the things that are important in life, the things that put us over, we need to know what those things are so we can become an overcomer in Jesus, okay? And the way we learn that is by studying his word, like I'm trying to teach this lesson right now on these four requirements to praying according to the will of God. So we always get our prayers answered. And so this is the same question we must have answered before we receive from God. That is, what is God's will in the situation? And the only way we can know that is answered in the next question, which I'll read right now. How do we get these questions settled once and for all time in our lives? The way you get these questions settled, whether is something is according to his will, as far as the object goes, is by knowing the promises in his word, since they are always yes, and are always, therefore, his will. So the answer to this question, then, is by knowing the promises in his word. That would be enough to get this question right. And the reason is because the promises in his word are always yes. And because they always have a yes answer, we know they're always his will for us. And this is the way, then, folks, that we can pray according to his will and receive that thing for which we've asked for. Because that is the requirement for receiving, is to ask according to his will, as it said in 1 John 5:14. Name the one thing all Christians have received by faith by trusting in God's promises. What is the one thing every single Christian has received by faith by trusting in God's promises? Well, that one thing, folks, is salvation. Every single Christian got there the same way. They heard that Jesus died on the cross for them. They believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and they confessed Jesus as their Lord. And because they did this,
that they were saved. And by hearing that it was God's will for them to receive Jesus as their Savior, for he wishes none to perish, but all to come into repentance, the Word of God tells us. He wishes none to perish. So we know it's God's will that all be saved, even though all aren't, because they don't act on this promise. But we know it's God's will, so we can pray in faith for salvation. Okay? That's the one thing we've all received by faith, by trusting in a promise of God, and that is salvation. Now, here's a question. Should it be any more difficult or should there be any real difference to receive any other promise from God? Yes or no? No. It shouldn't be any more difficult for us to receive any other promise that has a yes answer in His Word. And all the promises have a yes answer, don't they? For all the promises of God are a yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, it should not be any more difficult for us to receive anything else that's promised in the Word of God. That's God's will. That's how we learn His will. Just like salvation is God's will, well, there's a lot of other things in God's Word that are His will as well. And we need to learn what those things are so we can pray in faith for them. Next question, true or false? Knowing what Jesus purchased for us in our redemption goes a long way toward knowing His will. Is this true or false? Well, that's true. If we're talking now about the object of our prayer in knowing His will as far as things that we desire. And anything, folks, that came with our redemption is His will for us. And the reason I put that in there, it's sort of a shortcut to knowing what some of these promises are, because once you find out something was included in our redemption, that's always God's will for us. Now, where do we find these things? Well, as I said in the lesson, Galatians 3:13 says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and we're now eligible for Abraham's blessing. So if we go back in Deuteronomy 28 and find out what all the curses were that we've been redeemed from, and all the blessings of Abraham that God desires us to have, we'll go a long way toward knowing what promises are ours. If you read in the curse of the law, there must be, I'm guessing, but it goes from verse 15 to verse 68 in Deuteronomy 28, lists, I would guess, over 100 curses that we've been redeemed from. So anything you can find in there, in that curse, is something we've been redeemed from that we do not have to put up with in our lives. If something that's covered in these curses shows up in our lives, we can come before Satan and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you take your hands off of me in this area, whatever it might be. Just naming whatever your situation is. And because it is written that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And in that curse was this thing that you're trying to put upon me, and I resist you in this, and I command you take your hands off of me in this regard, because it is written right here, that's in the curse of the law, which I've been redeemed from. I declare myself to be free of this in Jesus' name. See, that's how you resist Him, and that's how you take advantage of one of the promises of God. Now, in the first 14 verses in this chapter are all the blessings of Abraham. All those things are things that God wants us to have. Okay? Anytime we pray according to any of those blessings, we're praying according to God's will. So, right there, contained in this one chapter in the Word of God, is probably 150 different things that are blessings and curses that we've been redeemed from, that are promises of God for us. So I'm just pointing this out, that if you say, well, I don't know the promises. Well, you're going to know a lot of them if you just meditate on Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Galatians 3:13 and 14. Next question. When something you desire is not covered by a specific blank blank, you must blank His will. Okay? Now, occasionally, we desire something that's not specifically covered by God's Word. And I talked about this in the lesson. Some of those things that I discussed were, should I change jobs? Should I quit my job? Should I move to a different town? Should I put my kids in this school? Things like that. Should I ask my boss for a raise? The Word of God doesn't cover these specific things that pertain to only us in this specific instance. And so when something you desire is not covered by a specific word, promise, goes in the first two blanks, you must seek his will. Okay? So the words that go in these three blanks are word, promise, and seek. And our last question is, to do this, we must pray the prayer for blank, which is also always answered with a blank answer when we do it according to God's instruction, which is to ask in blank. What goes in these blanks? To do this, we must pray the prayer for wisdom, which is also always answered with a yes answer when we do it according to God's instruction, which is to ask in faith. Remember, God's word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men or women liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not this man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, the one who doesn't ask in faith. And so, folks, when God's word doesn't address a specific thing we want to pray for, like I discussed on certain specific things that aren't covered by the Word of God, then we need to pray the prayer for wisdom, which is also always answered with a yes answer when we do it according to God's instruction, which is to ask in faith. And for our text on that, we have James 1, 5, and 6, which says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That's all. There's another promise that's always answered with the yes answer. We pray for wisdom. So, folks, if you don't know what to do in a specific situation and it's not covered by God's word, just pray the prayer for wisdom in faith, knowing God will always answer you and let you know whether it's his will or not. And so then this completes our homework for this lesson.